Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
The Irish Aviation Authority has set a limit of 25.2 million seats at Dublin Airport next summer, a million fewer than were sold this year, in order to comply with the annual cap of 32 million passengers. When Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary criticised this decision, and he claimed that it was unlawful. Well, for reaction, I'm joined now by the CEO of the Association of Visitor Experiences and Attractions and a director of the Irish Tourism Industry Confederation, Catherine Flanagan. Good morning.
Good morning, Claire.
So what impact do you see this decision having on your own sector?
Well, our sector, I suppose, has been a little, not overlooked, but under-discussed in relation to the passenger cap at Dublin Airport. Visitor attractions would be considered by Tourism Ireland as one of the most important motivators for people to come to Ireland. Our overseas markets visit because they love the landscape, the culture and history, and the people. And the visitor attractions are really the essential things to see and do for that draw people to Ireland in the first instance, and then bring them onwards into the regions and the rural areas. So we're very concerned at the prospect that we are going to have, according to the DAA, approximately a million fewer visitors coming through Dublin Airport next year. So it's highly concerning, and we think that the impact on tourism is going to be widely and deeply felt.
So you're saying that you need those million people, million visitors, because it won't exactly be a million people, because some of those people are transiting, aren't they?
There are some transit indeed, but already, you know, we are seeing, I know the Dublin Airport Authority have put a value on the loss to the tourism economy at over 500 million euro. So I do think it is going to translate right down into the rural and regional tourism economies in particular. Obviously, Dublin is a very important hub, and the vast majority of visitors to the island are landing in at Dublin Airport. So, you know, I think there are going to be consequences that we can see now, but it may be even worse than we've originally considered.
But a major part of our tourist offering is based in the west and the south of the country, Catherine. I mean, I'm sure some tourists would prefer to fly into smaller, less congested airports like Cork or like Shannon, and those airports might even be closer to their final destination.
Well, certainly there's a huge interest amongst the more regionally located members that I have in further flights coming into Shannon and Cork and Ireland West. And certainly that would unlock a little bit more of the tourism economy. But airlines are, of course, for-profit businesses. They will go where the demand is. They will go where they are getting you know, secure spots, secure routes in, and they have to respond to the market demands. And if the demand is for Dublin, that is where the airlines will predominantly locate. But there are certainly opportunities, but I don't think it is going to be as impactful or as great as we might like.
Okay, but if we keep saying, you know, there's no connectivity in Cork or Shannon, there never will be. I mean, perhaps we need to invest to build up that connectivity and to develop those as proper hubs too.
Well, Cork has experienced tremendous growth this year and is set for further growth next year. So I think there's great optimism there. There's also an opportunity for perhaps some of the outbound flights to utilise Cork and Shannon a little bit more. Dublin Airport car parking, as we know, is at a bit of a pinch. So encouraging perhaps people who are outside of the immediate Dublin catchment area to use alternative airports for outbound might be an option too. Mm-hmm. But I think we do have to be realistic in terms of where the demand is, and the airlines will respond to that demand, and that is where we are going to see the tightest pinch on the funnel.
But just to bring it back to why we're here with this cap, this is a planning law, and you'll have people here who've been refused planning permission in all sorts of circumstances saying, well, we can't breach the rules when we're told no. Why should your sector be allowed to do so?
Well, you're absolutely right. It is a national issue and it is a planning issue. And I suppose it isn't really the place of me looking after a representative group to speak to that uniquely. But it is important that we recognise the impact, the fallout that there is going to be for the tourism economy. So I do think that there has to be a national strategic view taken. Dublin is such an important access point. The vast majority of visitors to the island come by air. We are an island nation, so we have to be cognizant of all of that in figuring out where to go next. But regardless of you know, where the decision making is going to lie, the impact has to be articulated and the impact is going to be significant.
Well, Michael O'Leary has said repeatedly he wants political intervention here. Do you support him in that? Is that what you want to see happen too?
I wouldn't like to be drawn into making recommendations regarding political intervention, but it's clear that a way forward has to be found, because the two views, both the national strategic importance and the importance of planning governance and oversight, just need a reconciliation solution found to move forward.
I mean, the reason this was put in place, this cap, was to prevent people who live in North Dublin being locked in endless traffic jams. Now, there are those who say the roads have improved, the M50 has been widened since that decision was taken. Do you think that that logic still exists for the passenger cap?
It wouldn't really be my place to comment on the ins and outs of Fingal planning. I live in Fingal myself, and I've heard the concerns of both sides. But really, you know, the discussion from a tourism perspective has to be around the impact that we know we are going to experience next year and how that's going to follow on. Another trend that I suppose we've a little bit of concern about is that the July and August CSO statistics on tourism, both months revealed that visitors are coming for a shorter length of stay, with the average length of stay coming down by just over one night, and that translates into 670,000 bed nights. What we really want to be doing is encouraging the visitors that come to the island to stay for longer, so that it is a more efficient flight that they're taking, spending a little bit more in the tourism economy here and reducing down those shorter stays.
Mm-hmm. So stay for longer, and that's a more valuable visit for Ireland.
It is, and it draws people further into the regional areas. Because the shorter length of stay means that you're more likely to stay closer to your access hub. So we really want to make sure that the trickle-down effect of the airport cap and the shorter stays isn't most deeply felt in the rural tourism economy.
So essentially, Catherine, you're saying I'm not the person to deal with what the solution is here, but I need everyone to know how this is going to impact the people that I represent who run the visitor experiences and attractions.
Well, that would be true. I represent the interests of the visitor experiences and attractions, and there are many decisions made at a national level that obviously I can't impact or influence directly myself. But it's important as a group that represents those businesses, be they Valentia Island Lighthouse or Hook Heritage or Kylemore Abbey, that we're expressing our concerns that this is coming down the tracks for us and that the impact is going to be felt in those tourism economies as soon as, you know, 2025.
32 million passengers left Dublin Airport, 87,000 a day over last year. I mean, is it your belief that the airport can just continue to grow exponentially? Do you see that there is a limit at some point? Catherine, are you still there? Oh, we seem to have lost Catherine Flanagan, CEO of the Association of Visitor Experiences and Attractions. Let's take a break. We'll come back after this.